Thank you very much, Phil. Now, it's time to find out what's actually going to be happening on the surface of Mars later today, because the Phoenix lander, which is the latest mission to Mars to explore the surface, is due to be touching down. And William Boynton joins us now from the University of Arizona, where he is in charge of the thermal and evolved gas experiment aboard Phoenix. So, William, the Phoenix mission's just literally hours away from touching down. You must be pretty nervous.
I am. It's been a long wait, and there's not too much we can do about it now, but we're just going to watch and hope everything works well.
So just tell us a bit about Phoenix. What actually is it, first of all?
Well, Phoenix is a lander. It's unlike the rovers that are currently scooting about Mars. This does not have wheels. We're going to land in one location near the North Pole of Mars, and wherever we land, that's where we stay. It does have a robotic arm that can reach out a little bit less than 2 meters and any direction and dig up some dirt and deliver it to my instrument, the thermal evolved gas analyzer, and another instrument that has a microscope and a wet chemistry lab and be analyzing the soils that it digs up.
So what key questions are you looking to answer with Phoenix?
Well, I guess the big key question is we're trying to understand the environment and see if it could have been either now or more likely in the past hospitable for life. The mission is not really a life detection mission such as Viking was a long while ago. This mission is more to understand the conditions and just see if Mars might have been hospitable for life in the past.
Why have you picked the North Pole?
Well, we're there in large part because we found this ice just beneath the surface. This was a discovery made with another instrument I've been involved with, the gamma ray spectrometer on the Mars Odyssey mission, and we found that the whole North Polar region, northward of about 60 degrees latitude, has very large amounts of ice just buried a centimeter or two beneath the surface. So what we're thinking is this ice might provide a special environment to preserve conditions that perhaps organic molecules might have survived.
What sort of ice is that? Is that water ice?
Yeah, this what we're speaking of is water ice, and as I think one of your earlier guests mentioned, when we land, we might see a little bit of CO2 frost on the surface. During the wintertime on Mars, it gets cold enough that the atmosphere, which is almost pure CO2, will condense out on the surface, and we can have in the order of a meter thick layer of CO2 frost on the covering all of the ground. But the ice I'm talking about here is regular water ice that would be beneath the surface, and there's a lot of it. It's, as best we can tell, somewhere in the order of 75 to 80% ice and maybe only 20% dirt.
And so what season is it at the moment on Mars?
Right now it's springtime. The ground is warming up. The CO2 frost is leaving. It's possible when we get there all of the CO2 frost will be gone. We might still see some, like in the shadow regions behind rocks, things like that, but it is warming up.
And when you say warming up, relatively speaking, that's still pretty cold, isn't it?
It's still very cold, that's right. We expect the temperatures to be about minus 40 or something like that, perhaps in the middle of the day getting warmer.
And how long will the mission last? How long will Phoenix be able to tolerate those conditions to do experiments?
Well, we expect the hardware itself could actually survive maybe about 6 months. So far, the mission is only scheduled to go for 3 months. And if everything is working well, we're hopeful that NASA will come up with some extra money that we can go for another 3 months. But the craft is solar powered. And since we're near the North Pole, once the winter starts to set in, we lose our sunshine, and so there's no longer any power for the lander itself.
So just to finish off, could you tell us, William, what's actually going to happen today, and what are the steps as Phoenix comes to land on Mars?
It's actually a pretty involved process, but what happens is it enters the top of the atmosphere, and it has a heat shield very much like the one the Apollo capsules had, or something, same idea as what the space shuttle has when it re-enters, but essentially something that can get very hot and use friction to slow the spacecraft down a large fraction of the speed. then what happens is they get rid of that heat shield and they deploy a parachute, which slows it down still more. Now, because Mars' atmosphere is very thin, as one of your earlier guests pointed out, the parachute doesn't do too well in terms of slowing us down, but it will still slow us down. And then the final bit we do with retro rockets. This is kind of the old-fashioned way of doing it compared to what was done more recently with the airbags surrounding things.
But that was Beagle 2, and it didn't go so well, did it? We don't know what happened to Beagle 2.
No, that's true, we don't. It was also the same technology used on the Mir rovers, though, which did survive, and I guess Pathfinder as well. But the problem is when they get to be, when the landers get to be very big, the airbags get to be very big, and it gets more difficult. So we're going back to the technology that we used on the Viking mission, and are very hopeful that this will set us down very gently.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, William. I hope that you'll be willing to join us in a few months' time when it's all gone well, we hope, fingers crossed, and you'll have some data for us.
I'd be very happy to do that.
Thank you very much. That's William Boynton from Arizona University, who is eagerly awaiting the touchdown of his Phoenix mission to Mars. Phil.